Well, it's my pleasure because I was instructed to introduce our speaker. And I've known him for a few years now. I asked him what he wanted me to tell about him, and he didn't indicate I was supposed to say a whole lot. So, yes, sir, Jerry Fawley, and I had the privilege of singing in a group that he sang with for a few years, and it was one of the probably better things in my life. And knowing him was part of it. And so, Jerry, we appreciate you coming and sharing with us.
Man, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Okay.
You supposed to go over there.
He changed me.
Good.
If I start swinging my arm around, though, you might be a little close. Huh?
Well, maybe I'm hard of hearing anyway.
We'll see what happens then. Okay. My name, yeah, like I said, my name is, without a name tag, I remembered, Jerry Fawley. I saw it in the bulletin a while ago. I appreciate it very much to be able to be here. Just a few personal comments. First of all, I want to thank Everett for putting my name in the hat for him to draw out to come today. I feel really blessed to be here, to be with you guys here in Moscow. And I'm excited about the life of the Spirit in this church that I felt when I walked in the door. You're on the right track, and the Lord's got good plans for you as a church. And I just continue to thank Him for churches that are standing up for the Word, and that the Word is God's truth, and that we're here to celebrate that each Sunday together, as well as individually in our lives, as we work together in our work, our families, and the soon coming back to the schools. That's going to be a major prayer concern for you parents this year, especially. So I thank you that you all know God, and you know Jesus, and you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your lives. And one quick thought I had when Everett was standing up here, it reminded me when we sang together that there might be a solo part in a song in the Rockingham Male Chorus, and Prof. Huffman, sometimes he didn't tell you if you were singing a solo. We were singing the song, and then he'd point at you when the solo came up. Sometimes he pointed Everett, sometimes he pointed me. We didn't ever know. So, Everett, this morning, they pointed at you, and here you come, buddy. What good job, man. Way to go. I appreciate that. It makes you feel real comfortable, doesn't it? When you don't have to, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. And we need to be obedient. And we can be foolish for the Lord. Paul talked about that. We read about that a lot. I'm supposed to have a sermon. So, the one other thing, it's really also very special for me to be at Moscow because my great-great-grandfather, he was sent from Sangerville congregation back to plant the Bethel Church of the Brethren back there above Boulder. That was my great-great-granddaddy in the Church of the Brethren. And being able to speak in a church that was kind of associated with him in the early days in the 1880s and 90s, when this church, started, that made it really special. I feel honored to be in the pulpit of probably my great-granddaddy preached in, my granddaddy preached in, and you all know Dean Fawley, I remember him. He's my uncle. So to be here made it really special to think that I'm here where one of my family preached. So that makes it really special. So today we're going to talk about, I have a question that we're going to try to answer, and it's called, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Now, see where I'm going to go with this? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 You remember what that says, some of you? Anybody got an idea what that verse is? Don't look it up. Just remember. What would it be? Miss Foley, Mary Faith is my wife. Would you quote that verse for us, please, ma'am? Speak up. Thank you very much. That happens to be, I think, her favorite one. You have these special verses. Thank you for sharing that, ma'am. But before Paul said that, he had a couple other things he talked about. Because when you say, finally, brethren, it's not, that means he said something before. And this is what he's saying after he said that. So let's talk about a couple things he said before. Oh, this is kind of like not where I'm going to go, but it's really cool how the Lord can give us peace. Okay, so the two verses before that are, be anxious for nothing, but in everything and prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, two things happened to me one time, or I was a part of, that illustrated that peace of God. The first was a man I was helping take to the hospital, and he was going to get the bottom of his right leg cut off below the knee because of diabetes. So I was in there, sort of like a pastoral type visitor. So you can get in, if you're a preacher, you get to get in a pre-op with them sometimes. So I got to go in there with him. The nurse was him all ready for the surgery. This is a big man. He only weighed about 360 pounds or something. But anyway, he was a big boy. And he was sitting there on the table, and the lady came in, the nurse, and took his blood pressure. Okay? And she said, something must be wrong. I need to take it again. So she waited a little bit. She took her blood pressure again. And she said, sir, I don't understand this. Your blood pressure is normal. And most of the time when people are going to have surgery, especially when they're going to get part of their body cut off, they're a little bit anxious. And their blood pressure is really high. But she said, I'm going to do it one more time. So she did it again. His blood pressure is normal. I said, Ken. Oh, I shouldn't use it. I don't know his last name. I said, tell the nurse why your blood pressure is normal. And he said to her, ma'am, now I'm here to get my leg cut off. If the Lord had wanted to heal my leg, he would have healed it. But that wasn't part of what his plan for my life. So I figured, so he's now one of the doctors to take care of it. So why should I be nervous? He didn't heal me, so now you can take care of it. So he was perfect peace about the whole thing. So he had another friend, and he was getting ready, and this is pre-op. He's having both knees replaced, okay? So we're in there, and so the doctor's here, and the anesthesiologist is here, right before you go in for surgery. They come in the room. And so they said, do you have anything to say, sir? He said, yes, I do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit, who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies my years with good things, so that my youth is restored like the eagle, so my youth is restored like the eagle. That's what he said. You have anything to say? Yes, that's what he said. Okay? And then they said, well, thank you very much. And then he said one more time, the anesthesiologist said after he spoke, you have anything to say? Yeah, I have a question, sir. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, sir. The anesthesiologist said, I do. So I said, okay, I think it's time we can all pray. So we all held hands, the doctor, the surgeon, and the anesthesiologist, we all prayed. So that was a peaceful place, right? The peace came even a week later. I went to his house. 9 days after the bubble knee replacement, I go to his house. I'm going to comfort the poor guy. He's in the recliner with his ice on his knees and all that stuff. He was pushing, he was mowing his yard with his push mower. I said, man, what are you doing? He said, what's the difference between a walker and a push mower? So it was really cool. That was just something I wanted to share. But mainly the message was the peace of the Lord and being anxious for nothing. Okay, today we're going to focus on verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good report, if there is any excellence and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell or think about these things. So the question is, what do you think about? One time, I was a counselor at church camp. Some of y'all, anybody go to Camp Bethel down in Roanoke a long time ago? Okay. So we were down there as a counselor one year, quite a few years ago, and these kids, this is like middle schoolers, and they were talking about Dungeons and Dragons. I said, man, we're not going to talk about that here. And I read this verse. This is what you're supposed to think about is this, not the game. And not these other games. And now it's even worse. Now all the games the kids are killing and shooting and blowing up stuff games. So, you know, we thought it was bad then. Well, it's not any better on those games. That's not what you're supposed to be thinking about. we use that scripture to help teach them that. And with today, with the movies and the TV and the watching the news is bad enough, and the commercials are really bad. That's my opinion. I don't know if you agree or not. But then on Facebook and YouTube, and this other one they call TikTok, these things right here are not good because they can be used for evil. It doesn't mean they're used for evil. It doesn't mean they're not, quote, good for good purposes, but they're also, we get bombarded with this type of media. We get bombarded with that stuff, you know, on the negative side. But the Lord is using it for good, the technology. Well, Everett just told you how it's used for good because he listened to the conference live, you know, so that's good. But we got to visit the Jesus Film Project down in Florida. And that's when they took the movie, Jesus out of Luke, word for word, and they translated it into over 2,000 languages now. They do new ones every day, and dialects. They translate this language into the same language that people speak. So if you're from Western Pennsylvania, you speak a little bit different than if you're from Western Virginia, don't you? Well, they'll have that much difference in the language, in the language that the people speak, even the dialects. It's amazing what they do. When they first went out, they had these big old generator, 400-pound generators, and they took the movie screens and these. Remember the projectors that had the old reels that go around like that? See why you moved. So then, what happened now with technology? All this is down to cell phone. They can do 19 movies on one thing this big. 19 movies, 19 different dialects or languages. And one little thing like this. They took it, the hotspot. It has a hotspot too. They can take you to a different country. You can be sitting in a restaurant talking to somebody and turn your phone on, like lay it there, and all these neighbors, the people around, I got a hotspot over here. I can start watching. Then they'll see where it comes from, and then all of a sudden, they're watching this movie about Jesus. See, the Lord uses that technology, you know, so it's great. But we're getting back to the point of what are we thinking about. Okay, let's take a look at some of the words. One of the words, the first one, is true. And we're just going to get hit each word just a little bit to see exactly what it means or what it can mean to us. So, true. We are to judge what is true by the standard of Jesus' words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And he's the creator of truth. So Jesus is truth, but he's the creator of truth. And here's a simple little example. Jesus, you know, he spoke the creation. It said in 1 John, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And God used Jesus was like the force, the Word that created our whole universe. So here it said, Jesus is our creator. He created water, didn't he? Okay. Now, water freezes. Is that right? It freezes. That's a truth. The water freezes. That's a true statement. Water freezes. Well, and he created the water. So when he said, I am the water of life, we can believe that too, can't we? Yeah. That's simple truth. The creator of truth demonstrated the truth as the natural law, as you might say. And then he said, I am the way and the truth. Okay, let's keep going. Honorable. We are to honor God as a holy God, the holy God, not a God, the holy God. He's our creator, and we honor him by worshiping him. But we also can honor man because God created man in his own image. We can honor man. You can show respect and honor to people. That's okay. Okay. What's right? In the Old Testament, there are many meanings for right. In the Hebrew, they have so many different words in different parts of the Old Testament for right. That would take about a month of sermons to talk about that. But basically, for me, it means being straight. When you measure something, it's either right or it isn't. You know, you got a ruler. You got a standard to go by. So it's being straight or having right judgment. Making right judgments. I think that's very important. In the New Testament, the most common meaning in the New Testament of right is equal. It's the same, equal. It's right. Like a right measure, you know, balance. It's right, you know, it's equal. So it's just. It's right. It's righteous in our relationships. It's to be a righteous relationship with no hidden kind of agendas in our relationships with somebody. Okay. Another one is pure. An example for me when I think of pure is a note on a piano, a note. It has a name or letter. Let's say it's a C. Okay. A C. Then if she plays a C, that's what you hear. But the enemy likes to distort. He's sneaky. He comes in and changes a little bit. So instead of having a C, like, whatever, I'm not going to get the right note, but la, like that, it would be, you know, that is distortion of what the true tone is. So the purity that I'm thinking about is just an example in the music. All right, what did Satan say to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say that? Okay, he's already starting to distort what's pure, the pure word of God. What's lovely? Well, flowers are lovely. You know, they're beautiful. She brought in one of those happy flowers. Oh, I mean gladiolas, you know, happy flowers, gladiolas. You get it? Okay. So she brought one in the house the other day. Oh, man, that is a beautiful flower. Okay. And we see have birds at the bird feeder. They're beautiful too, right? Okay. So there's beauty and lovely and beautiful things like that. But our actions also can be lovely. Now that, you know, the Bible talks about the motivation for love and we're not going to read it this morning, but the motivation for love in our relationships with others and who we are in our relationship to God is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, called the love chapter. If you read that, it gets you focused off who, what I do, who I am. And he said, of all the things that he gives us and that we can do for him, quote, for him, by the gifts of the Spirit and the way he uses us, it's all about him. And he said the greatest of these is love. So that's a whole different perspective about how we relate to God and who we are. And it really shows his mercy and blessing to you to get to focus off of who I am and on to who he is. So that's what one of the little parts of love that I think of. And there's another one called kindness. Now, if you notice, especially in Psalms, there's a lot of loving kindness is a word that is used a lot. The Lord used a loving kindness in the Bible. That's who he is, loving kindness. And I was thinking, loving kindness. Oh, okay. Other people can be kind, right? You can be kind to somebody. You know, if you might have a little selfish motivation to be kind to them because you might be expecting to get something back from them by being nice to them. Or you might kind of manipulate people by your kindness, okay? Well, we could go a long ways with that one in the political realm, but we're not going to do that today. So loving kindness is one thing, but being kind, you have to be careful. The Lord will give you discernment when somebody that you might know is trying to get your friendship for a different reason. You never know. But the Holy Spirit can give you discernment about that person, and you can sense if that's really true or if that's from the enemy using that person to pull you out of off the track that he wants you on. Now, virtue is another one, and worthy of praise. Well, I'm going to take a minute to read. I read in a commentary about these verses, and it's really good, and it says it so much better than I could. So I'm going to read from a commentary about verse 8 of chapter 4 of Philippians. Okay. So think of virtue and praise, and when I get to that part, you'll understand why they explain it much more simply. Finally, commentary, finally is the word. In conclusion, like you said, you know, this he'd already been talking to them, whatsoever introduces six adjectives picturing the old-fashioned Christian ideas. True, resting on reality and aiming at reality. Honest, honorable, dignified, worthy of reverence, the combination of gravity or seriousness and dignity. Just, righteous relations between man and man and man and God. Pure, stainless, chaste, unsullied, lovely, lovable, endearing, amiable, gracious, charming, pleasing, and winsome. Of good report, attractive or fair speaking, giving a good report on somebody. If there be any virtue, that mental or moral or physical excellence, virtue would be excellent. If there be any praise, and that's anything that's praiseworthy, anything that's deemed worthy of praise, think about these things. Meditate on them with careful reflection, not casually or superficially, but constantly and logically. For a man that thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? You've heard that before. That's from Proverbs 23:7. Noble thinking that produces noble living, holy living. Holy thinking produces holy living. All these noble qualities are exemplified in Christ and are produced by the Holy Spirit. I thought that was a really good little summary of what we're talking about. Okay. There's something else that I want to mention. Verse 9. What does verse 9 say? We did 8. Now, what does verse 9 say? It says, the things that you have learned, Paul's talking, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul said, do like I do. Don't just do what I say, do what I do. he gave the example. Okay, how could he say this? I mean, can you say this about yourself when you're talking to somebody? Hey, you be like me. And spiritually speaking, be like me. In my job, be like me. Be like me. You can't, can you say that? That's kind of an arrogant statement, isn't it? To be like me. And he said, if you do, then you're going to have peace in your heart. Well, you know, what Paul was, he was a very intelligent Pharisee. He had giftings that men recognized. This guy's really special. But the giftings that made Paul who he was were the giftings of the Holy Spirit when Jesus came into his life and filled him with his Holy Spirit. So this is what, why I think Paul can say this. Okay, here we go. This is thoughts that came to my mind. He was gifted in the eyes of man, but gifted by the Holy Spirit to teach and to heal and to deliver. He said that the good things that he did was by the Holy Spirit, not by himself. And this is what I say to you. The God of peace was with him, and he can be with you when you know and trust him. There's no fear when you trust in the Lord. And I would say, may the God of peace be with you. Let's pray. Lord, in the quietness, we want to hear your voice. Help us to be quiet when things in our lives become anxious, or we are upset, or we're dealing with situations where we feel helpless. Lord, help us to be quiet and just listen to see what you're doing, to recognize what you're doing in our lives. Like the scripture said that we read earlier in the responsive reading, that you had something you had to deal with all the time, but it did not stop your ministry. Lord, thank you for your love for us so much that you are accepting us for who we are as we allow your Holy Spirit to move in our lives, that we can say, do what I do. That's a big deal. But the only way we can do good things is through you. Help us to always reflect and remember that. It's not about us. It's about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much, folks, for letting, let me share my thoughts this morning. And it's really a privilege to be here, and we'll certainly be praying for your pastor and his dad.
Please stand and join in our closing hymn, number 335. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for this occasion today, our opportunity to come and worship you. And it has been good. And again, we remember those that weren't able to be here, and comfort and bless them. Amen.